Welcome to worship on Sunday the 24th of July. Come to worship the God of our salvation.
God's goodness has called us here.
Seek and you will find.
With joy we sing of Christ's steadfast love.
Knock and the door will be opened for you.
Here steadfast love and faithfulness meet.
Ask and it shall be given to you.
Here righteousness and peace kiss.
Come to worship the God of our salvation.
God's goodness has called us here.
We are here, O God, your children. We go astray, yet you forgive us. We get angry with others, but you keep loving us. We ask you for 1,000 different things, and you respond by showering us with blessings. You offer us salvation, mercy, and love. Thank you for inviting us into this grace-filled relationship. We pray in the name of the one who showed us what grace looks like, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ alone.
Today's first reading is Psalm 85. Psalm 85 identifies with those going through tough times, while exhorting us to have confidence in God, who continues to offer the encouragement of a new day. While lamenting with the people and identifying with their sufferings, the writer includes a message of hope and blessing, focusing on the graciousness of God. The psalmist speaks words of peace and restoration. At times it's a challenge to bridge the gulf between what we believe about God and the fractured reality of everyday life. Suffering can affect what we believe and have an impact on our relationships, including the kind of relationship we have with God. The author of Psalm 85 is not afraid to ask God hard questions and expect an answer. Real faith is unafraid to ask tough questions about real issues. The psalm also addresses the issue that's often at the heart of everyday faith, how it can grow stale and dry. Our faith, if we don't nourish it and exercise it, can leave us feeling that we are just muddling through. Faith without intent can easily become something that's on the surface and without deep roots. The psalmist desires the reassurance of hearing God's voice. How often during our daily lives do we pause and make space to hear what God has to say to us? In the midst of our troubles, the word of God we most need to hear is that word peace. God's peace is not like any other peace, because it's accompanied with God's promise of steadfast love. In any time of spiritual dryness or tiredness on our part, Psalm 85 reminds us of God's abundant, overflowing, and gracious response. We come to God with our worries and woes, but they are not the last word. God will revitalize us and restore us. God's word to us in this psalm is to turn and turn again until at last we encounter God and then walk with God. Listen to the reading from Psalm 85.
You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
Let us pray. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from us? As our world is ripped apart, we long for the day of your salvation. As our lives are tattered and torn, we desire for you to restore our fortunes. As we knock on the door and seek your face, open the door to us, for we need your presence if we are to be whole once more. Show us your steadfast love, Holy One. Fulfill your promise to answer our prayers, and we will dwell with joy in your house forever. Let us join in the words of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples as we say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The one who gives us our daily bread each day blesses us with what we need each and every day of our lives. The one who forgives our sins answers our prayers and offers us fullness of life. Thanks be to God. Bible reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13.
One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Some people find it easier to pray than others. Some lack faith in God. Some become frustrated and disappointed with praying. It doesn't seem to work for them. Just now we have read about a lesson in praying given by an expert. The expert is a teacher from Nazareth, whom we call Christ, the Saviour and Lord. The disciples came to him asking, "Master, teach us to pray." And he dealt with their question in three ways. He gave them an example of prayer. Next he told a story about a man who needed bread at midnight. And then he talked about a parent responding to a child's request for food. Today I'm going to try and follow this simple lesson Jesus gave to his disciples. Jesus' example of prayer is the one we call the Lord's Prayer. We're so familiar with it that it's difficult to look at it afresh. I want to draw your attention to two things about this prayer that are so obvious you could easily miss them. It's very brief, and yet it's also broad. When I was a teenager attending church, I remember we had a minister. It was not a sprinter but a marathon runner when it came to his prayers. The young people used to sit together in the back rows of the gallery, and among the mischievous things they did, they timed the minister's prayers. I don't remember how many minutes his longest prayer lasted, but there were those who thought that he could compete with anyone for the record holder for long prayers in the Guinness Book of Records. Articulate and comprehensive his prayers may have been, but one needed hard training to survive the experience of being a listener to his prayers. In contrast, Jesus covered everything he wanted to cover in about 30 seconds. One of the things that most of us admire in a good communicator is succinctness. It's a sign of concentrated wisdom. It takes more skill to express yourself briefly than to ramble on and on, making the same point over and over again. The Lord's Prayer is brief, but it's also broad. I can recall another minister who had the habit each Sunday of mentioning things in his prayers that were particularly relevant to events in the life of his family during the week that had passed. He didn't mention names of members of the family from the pulpit, but his prayers almost became a weekly diary of his family life. There's nothing narrow, limited, or introverted about the Lord's Prayer. Think about how much ground Jesus covered. His prayer is God-centered, not self-centered. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This prayer takes us away from the weakness and folly of humanity to the glory, power, and love of God. It puts God first. Here we have worship, not religious self-indulgence. The prayer expresses hope and concern for the world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' prayer lifts us above immediate frustration and petty wants to the ultimate well-being of all. Our eyes are taken above the small hills to the lofty mountains of God's destiny for humanity. The prayer contains the request that we may possess the basic necessities for existence. Notice it's we and not I. Give us today our daily bread. It's prayer for basics, not for luxuries. It's also a prayer for the world family, not a short-sighted request for my needs. This is very unlike some of the want lists that creep into our prayers. There's a request for our spiritual personal needs. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We seek the mercy of God to set us free. We ask God to liberate us from both the crippling burden of our own sins and from the self-inflicted damage which are the inevitable consequence of holding grudges against others. And finally, the prayer encourages us to ask God to pity our weakness. The final sentence is a cry from the depths of the human heart, a recognition of our frailty in the face of trials and temptations. Do not put us to the test, but deliver us from evil. We pray to be saved from both the blatant temptations and the subtle ones that are always at hand. That's it. It took Jesus about 30 seconds to say this brief prayer. Ironically, it's taken me at least 5 minutes to make these few comments about us. The second lesson in Jesus' tutorial in prayer comes in the form of a story. At midnight, a man has an unexpected guest arrive seeking hospitality, but there's no food in the larder. He's a neighbour who's a friend, one he feels he can dare go to in the middle of the night. Take note, it's midnight. The neighbour must be a very good neighbour. And so he goes and knocks on the door, waking the poor man up. The neighbour's not exactly thrilled to be dragged from his bed. Nevertheless, because of the benign impudence of the request, he gives the friend the bread he asked for. There, says Jesus, ask, seek, knock, at any time of day or night, and you'll not be ignored by God. It's important to note that in this story, the request is not for himself, but for another. The midnight prayer is for a needy traveller. There's nothing selfish here. It's for the needs of other travellers through life, for whom we are told to ask, seek and knock on God's door. The story is not about nagging God for more goodies for ourselves. It's about loving others. And the third lesson in this tutorial is about a parent responding to a child's request for food. The learning for us hangs on the words, how much more. Jesus talks about being a good parent. If a child asks for fish to eat, a parent will not give her a snake. If an egg is requested, the good parent will not put a stone on the child's plate. Contaminated by evil though we are, we know how to give good food to our children. Well, most of the time, and today is not the day to talk about junk food. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Notice once again that Jesus is talking about basics, good food, not luxuries, for the over-pampered. Fish and eggs were the main source of protein in the common person's diet. Also note the precious gift Jesus assumes we'll be asking for. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the more of prayer. More of the Holy Spirit. More of God intimately working in and through us. More of God's presence. More of God's love, truth and comfort. More of his justice, wisdom, compassion and joy. This is the good gift God wants to give to those who ask. Maybe we don't always want more of God. We want more of our own plans and purposes, ambitions and comforts. Maybe we want more of our pride, stubbornness and ego. Perhaps we are afraid that if we have more of the Spirit of God in our lives, we may need to change in unpalatable ways. Maybe we prefer our religion in moderation rather than in complete dosage. Therefore, we limit the depth of our asking. How much more do we really want? That is what Jesus is asking.
Sins and griefs to bear. Oh.
Let us pray. We give thanks to our God, not because it is a duty, but because it is our privilege and joy.
For earth, sea and sky, and all that live in them.
For the long story of the human race, for its hunger of things divine, for your help when it wandered into trouble.
For lawmakers who limited injustice, prophets who spoke your hard truth, poets who expressed your praises, and peacemakers who resolved conflicts.
For Christ Jesus, completely one with us, yet completely one with you, who lived with us, died for us, and rose as the first fruit of a mighty harvest.
For the gift of your Holy Spirit, forming and constantly reforming your church, fostering the word and way of Jesus until this very hour.
God most generous, God most wonderful, glory be to you in the church through all creation and in the highest heaven, now and always.
Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for our world, for our leaders, for those whose decisions affect the lives of others. May your kingdom come through our actions.
Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for your church, that she may be brave enough to accept the challenge of being your disciples today, that she may spread your word, love, and justice. May your kingdom come through our actions.
Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for people who are in despair, who are frightened, who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, those who grieve. May your kingdom come through our actions.
Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for ourselves, that we accept that the answers to our prayers are often to be found in our own hands and in our own generosity. May your kingdom come through our actions.
There are millions of God's children in dire need this very day. We pray for them.
God of mercy, we pour out our hearts to you for this world, for all its people, with many and changing needs.
We pray for violence to cease and for justice and peace to become real in every community.
We desire poverty to be abolished and disease to be eradicated.
We feel for all the unemployed and all who feel unfulfilled.
We covet a society where the youth are not corrupted and the elderly not neglected.
We want the resources of the land, sea and air to be used more prudently, so that our grandchildren and theirs may have a good inheritance.
We long to create a new nation that takes a lead rather than mimic the faults of more powerful nations.
Holy God, especially help each of us to respect and cherish every person, both in the church and in the community. Make us flag bearers for your new world of integrity, hope, faith, compassion, and joy.
Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. In life, no fear in death, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. In life or fear of death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.